I'm sure that some of you are asking, what is this great big piece of artillery here doing on the stage? Is it like a gun? A great big bazooka? What is this? Who knows what this is? It's a telescope, yes. This is my great big 10-inch reflector Dobsonian telescope. I have a couple of telescopes. This is my biggest one. Everything's bigger in Texas, isn't it? This is a really good telescope. Now, reflector telescopes are interesting. You look through a mirror, a couple of mirrors actually. There's a mirror in the back, and there's a small mirror up here. And the mirror in the back collects the light at night and then reflects it up to the little mirror that's up here and then reflects it up into an eyepiece like this one. And with the eyepiece in, you can quite literally use this to look deep into space and way back into time. Now, right now, I can't see anything but the ceiling of the building. But if you go out late at night after sundown and you go out into the country, now you can't do this here in Irving in the middle of the Metroplex, because if you go outside at night, there's a great big light dome over us. All of the pollution and all the light around us makes it quite literally impossible to see much more than a few of the planets and the moon and the very brightest stars. You really can't even make out the constellations. But if you go out into the deep country, like go up to Oklahoma, to Hugo, Oklahoma, or up to Beavers Bend State Park in Broken Bow, Oklahoma, where my family likes to go on occasion to go fishing, and you take this telescope with you and you set it up and then you get out at night without any lights on, and you let your eyes get acclimated to the darkness. You look up in the sky, you can see the Milky Way, the backbone of night, shining bright. All of the stars of our galaxy shining real bright. And you can see the constellations. And even you can even see a galaxy, the M31 nebula, in the constellation Andromeda. You can see the Andromeda galaxy with your naked eye. It's a little hazy patch. But with a telescope like this, you zoom this in on the Andromeda galaxy, and it has a wide enough aperture that it can collect a lot of light and also give you a good enough field of view that you can see the galaxy. And on a really dark night, you can make out its arms and individual stars within that galaxy. Now, that galaxy is a long way away. With this telescope, I can look at the planets within the solar system. I can see the bands in Jupiter's atmosphere. I can see individual rings and the rings of Saturn. I can make out the colors of some of the moons of Jupiter. I can watch sandstorms blowing across the surface of Mars. But that's all within the solar system. Indeed, with this telescope, one night out in the dark, dark of night, I was looking for Pluto. Pluto is, or used to be, considered the furthest out planet, the ninth planet in our solar system. It got demoted a few years ago to planetesimal. Anyway, it's the furthest out planet that you could probably see with this telescope. And if you set it up at night, and I did one night, and searched and searched and searched, in a little area of space where I knew Pluto was supposed to be that night, and there were no other stars around, and as I searched, I saw this dim pinpoint of light where no other stars should be. And I knew I'd had the holy grail of amateur astronomers. I had seen Pluto without using a computer to find it, by the way. This is all muscle power, no computer involved. But that's within the solar system. That's within the solar system. We have space probes that have gone to Mars. We have space probes that have gone to Jupiter and Saturn and Uranus and Neptune. The Voyager 2 spacecraft made it all the way and is now further out now than Pluto is. There is a spacecraft right now, the New Horizons spacecraft, on its way to Pluto. It'll get there the year this church celebrates its 50th anniversary, just a few years from now, all the way out to Pluto and then beyond. But that's just within the solar system. That's nothing, friends, to the amazing majesty of the universe that God has created. It is so incredibly huge that it takes billions of years for light to go across it. And with telescopes up in orbit, much larger than this one, without all that atmosphere to look through, like the Hubble Space Telescope, they can see way, way, way away, billions of light years. And that also means billions of years back in time. The Andromeda Galaxy is 2.5 million light years away. That means that 2.5 million years ago, light left that galaxy to come here, and we are only seeing it today. With that telescope, I can look at light coming from stars that are 1,000 or 2,000 light years away, and I'm looking at light from a star that came, let's say, comes from a nebula that's 2,000 years away, light years away. That light left that nebula when Jesus lived on Earth. That's a long way away, friends. It's also a long way back in time. Human beings live 80, 90, 100, 110, sometimes even 120 or so years. Our own Mama Duke, she's 95 years old. She's almost 10% of a millennium old. Wow. She said, "I'm proud. I've made it that far." And she's going to make it all the way to 100, she says. The oldest living person today is Miss Bessie Cooper of Monroe, Georgia. She was born on, get this, August the 26th, 1896. Yeah, she's 115 years old. Or as Mama Duke said, old enough to be her mom. The oldest human in modern times, age verified by undisputed records, was Jean Clément, who lived 122 years and died in 1997. Now that's a long time, friends. Kind of hard to get your brain around the idea of living 95, 105, or 115, or 122 years. But 95 or 122 years is nothing compared to the history of this world, compared to the history of just writing, for instance. Writing has been around only about 6,000-7,000 years. And yet there are cave drawings in France that go back 35,000 years. And even that's nothing compared to the age of the Earth at 4.5 billion years, or the universe at 15 billion plus. All of this, every time I go out at night and look up into the sky at the handiwork of the Creator, at God's beautiful creation, I'm looking at a wonderful sign of the intelligence and brilliance of God and the love of God, and I'm also looking back into time, back into history. Scripture today says in 2 Peter that a day, one day with the Lord is like 1,000 years. And 1,000 years are like a day. We have trouble getting our brains around just 200 years or 1,000 years or 1,000,000 years. We have trouble getting our brains around these ideas. But for God, it's so simple. A day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is as a day. We experience time by linear progression. That means we go a day at a time, one day at a time, one day, one step, day by day, we live our lives. God sees it all as a whole, complete. As a whole, total and complete. We face life day by day, and we face it many times with fear. We don't know what's coming next. We don't know what's coming tomorrow. We don't know what's going to happen to us this afternoon. We don't know what faces us. And sometimes we look at life, We look at the things that are going to face us and we think it's going to destroy us. It's going to wipe us out. When we feel as though we're facing insurmountable odds, when we believe and when it appears that we can't make it through, when we feel alone, when we feel overwhelmed by life pressing us down, in those moments we should remember that the God who created all of that, that beauty that I can look at through the telescope, or that we can go out on a clear dark night and look at with our naked eyes, we should remember that the one who created the entire universe not only created you and me, but sent his Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, to be with us, to be the real presence of God with us, to go through this life with us, that we might face life and death with him holding us close. There's nothing that we face that the God of eternity won't face with us. There's nothing that we face that the creator of all of this doesn't face with us. Scripture continues. The Lord will come like a thief, and then the heavens will pass away with a loud noise, and the elements will be dissolved with fire, and the earth and everything that is done on it will be disclosed. That's interesting, isn't it? Those heavens will pass away with a loud noise, and the elements will be dissolved with fire. A little further along it says, since all these things are to be dissolved in this way, what sort of persons ought you to be in leading lives of holiness and godliness, waiting for and hastening the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be set ablaze and dissolved, and the elements will melt with fire. With this telescope, I can look into Orion's belt, the constellation of Orion and its belt, and I can see the Orion Nebula. The Orion Nebula is 1,300 light years away. And that means that 1,300 years ago, light left from there and is only arriving here today. That's how far away it is. And light goes very fast. That means that 700 years after the death and resurrection of Jesus, light left from there to get here today. It's a long way away. But many, 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 many years before then, there was a star there. And that star swelled up and then exploded, frying whatever planets may have been in orbit around it, and exploded and sent out shells of gas, of the elements that were in that star. Shells of gas to create the nebula. The nebula is reflected light, light reflecting through that gas that the star had exploded out. Looking back into time through this telescope, looking at the Orion Nebula through the telescope, or through pair of binoculars, you can see it with a pair of binoculars. You're looking back into time at one of these explosions that's being written about here in 2 Peter. The heavens will pass away with a loud noise, and the elements will be dissolved with fire, except that it's talking about here. And the earth and everything that is done on it will be disclosed. Yes, there will be an end. Yes, this world will eventually come to an end. Yes, the first half of Advent is about proclaiming the second coming of Jesus and the end of the world. Next Sunday we turn and start to remember and celebrate the first coming of Jesus in his birth in Bethlehem of Judea. Today we're still looking forward to the end. And we need to remember that no matter what we face, including the end, we face it with Jesus. No matter what we face, including the end, we face it with the one who created all of that. We face it with Jesus. There in the nursing home room last night, when Jerry opened his eyes brightly and that smile crept on his face and he knew who we were gathered around him, I realized seeing him there how incredibly close Jesus was to him. Sometimes we go through life and we think we're alone. We go through the hard times and we think we're alone. But in that moment, looking at Jerry, I realized I knew I could see Jesus holding him, comforting him, moving with him through this time and into eternity. There's a story of the footprints in the sand. I look back in my life and I saw two sets of footprints on the beach. I knew those footprints were mine and Jesus's. And then I noticed in those footprints along the path, at those moments in my life that were the most troublesome, the most difficult, the most trying, the most painful, the most frightening, in those moments of my life when it was the most sad, I noticed that there was only one set of footprints. And I turned to Jesus and I said, "Why did you leave me in those hard moments? Why is there only one set of footprints in those hard times?" And Jesus said to me, "Oh, my child, there's only one set of footprints because in those moments, I carried you." Amen. The one who created all that, the one who created the majesty of the universe, the one who brings it to fruition, the one who gathers it in, is the one who carries us. No matter what you face, in the remainder of this year and throughout 2012, you face it with Jesus carrying you. No matter what Jerry faces, he faces it with Christ, and he will face it with Christ into eternity. Because of his grace and his faith and his love. God's grace, God's faith, and God's love for us. We have nothing to fear. I'm always amazed when I look up and I see the universe and realize that the one who created it all loves us enough to come and be one of us, die for us, that we might never be alone. Oh, my brothers and sisters, as we come to the end of this year, let us celebrate the birth of Christ, and then let us move ahead, always knowing that in the difficult moments, the Creator of all carries us. My friends, I always do this at the very end of the year and at the very beginning of the year. I always ask my congregations to say with me, make a proclamation. Here we are towards the end of the year, 2011. I want you to say with me, "We made it through 2011. Say that with me now. "We made it through 2011. Say that again. "We made it through 2011. Now let's look forward. A whole year, 2012, faces us. Let's say together, "We made it through 2012. "We made it through 2012. Well, Greg, it hasn't come yet. We haven't even passed New Year's yet. So, God's already there. God's already in 2012, 2013, 2014, 2015, 2016, 2116. God's already there. He's the God of the forefront, the God who goes before us, the God of 1,000 days and 1,000 years in one day, the God of one day and 1,000 years. He is already there. So we can say, by faith in Christ Jesus, we made it through 2012, even though it's still 2011. Well, what if we die? then we really made it through 2012, friends. Amen, sister. Oh, my brothers and sisters, say it with me again. We made it through 2012. My brothers and sisters, by God's grace, we will. By faith, we will. With hope, we will. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Been listening to a sermon by Dr. Gregory Neal, Senior Pastor of Northgate United Methodist Church and Rector of Grace Incarnate Ministries. Copyright 2011 by Dr. Gregory S. Neal, all rights reserved. For more information or to listen to other sermons by Dr. Neal, visit us on the web at www.revneal.org. That's www.revneal.org. You are also invited to visit us in person at Northgate United Methodist Church, 3700 West Northgate Drive, Irving, Texas, 75062. This program was produced by Dr. Gregory Neal.